Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. Heh, but why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world? Totally Driven Tuesday. That's right. Special edition tonight again. This is three nights in a row. Special editions of Totally Driven Radio. How about that? So tonight we talked to two authors tonight, and the first one we talked to, both recently released novels, and the first one we talked to is going to be his name is Jason Michael Primrose. And he recently released a novel on November 1st, and it's a science fiction novel. It's called Zazma, and it's part of a series. It's the first part in a series of The Lost Children of Andromeda. So this is for all you sci-fi peeps out there. It's really kind of a cool story because he's been working on this actually since he's a kid, and he finally is bringing this all to life. And the options are endless, you know. And we discuss all those different options in the interview. So you don't need to keep hearing me talk. Let's listen to Jason talk. So here's my interview with Jason. We're going to start the show with Jason Michael Primrose, and he is the author of Zazma. So here he is. So how you doing, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, man. So I guess at this point you got to be, like, super excited. Because you're at the less than 24-hour mark now before the release.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because I've been talking about it for a while, so I don't know if I feel the hype, but yeah, tomorrow is going to be really amazing, just to have it all be available forever.
It finally, the reality becomes truly real now.
Yeah.
So, like, how long have you been working on this book?
Well, I wrote the first version of it when I was 10. And it was just a little picture, it was a little storybook with pictures and very, very light story, not too much character development or world building. But I then picked it back up when I was about 30. And I spent the last 4 years really polishing the world and the characters and kind of getting my head around what I wanted to say, and started building the universe.
Wow. So, I mean, this project, naturally a book, a story is going to mean a lot to an author, but I mean, this, going back to when you were 10 years old, this really has to mean, you know, even more.
I think it means everything to me, honestly. The series is, I don't know what it is, but it's like I thought of these characters when I was so young, and they've changed names, but a lot of their core values and the things that they do within the story haven't changed. And even as the world's evolved, and I, like, even you know, switch to where things happened and the kind of powers they have and stuff like that, but the personalities and like the souls of the characters have always stayed the same. So, and they've evolved with me. So it
sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is my universe, you know, like this is the stuff that's happening in my head when I'm like zoning out during conversation or, you know, anytime I have some downtime, like I think of a scene or a phrase or like a dialogue exchange or something like that. So it's very like active.
So like as you were working on this, like because it is a part of a series, was it always the plan to be a series, or did you just, like, once you really started putting things together, did it just, like, start flowing to you, or like, wow, I can make a whole series out of this?
No, it's always been a series. It's always been a series. I knew that there were a number of things that needed that would happen, which I won't talk about now. But I knew there were a number of things that needed to happen to kind of frame out the lesson. And so I knew that, like, okay, we're going to start – before we started, like, all – it was intergalactic and everything. I was like, no, we're going to start on Earth. We're going to – you know, we're going to bring people into a world that they understand and can identify with. And then we'll continue to build and kind of, like, take it out of the comfort zone. So I always knew that there were other alien civilizations that were involved, other galaxies. So I always knew that we'd build into this kind of like, you know, this whole ecosystem of characters and conflict and all that stuff.
Wow. Now, is this an actual novel or graphic novel?
It's a novel. I do have pictures in there. But it's about 93,000 words of text and then 40 pictures. And the pictures were really to bring visual life to the world. And I have a background in kind of like brand marketing and marketing in general. So I knew that to reach different audiences, I would need different media to engage.
Sure.
So I tried to think as many places as I could in terms of, like, how do we get people interested or intrigued about the story and the characters, even if they don't read,
right,
as we continue to build out in another direction.
Now, have you thought of that in the future, like possibly making it graphic novels out of the story as well? I mean, because from looking at the artwork, at first I was like, oh, maybe it is a graphic novel.
Different ways to kind of bring the characters to life more. And I've had this idea of doing like a prequel for each character where it's like a very short graphic, like a very short novel or a compilation of a graphic novel that gets them to the point where the series starts. So that was one idea in terms of like printed media. Yeah.
And I also like too, the YouTube trailer you did, I think that was really, you know what I mean, helpful to get, like you were saying, like the characters, that tells you about the characters and brings the drawings to life a little bit. And I never really saw like a book trailer before, so that was really cool.
Oh, thank you. The trailer was an interesting journey for me because, you know, I talked to my friends in film and they were like, oh, we could do this like cool trailer, and then it was expensive. I was like, I can't afford a live action trailer, but I was doing some research on, like animatics. And I was like, oh, there's ways you can manipulate files and like images to make them look like they're moving. You add light and you can like move the layers around. So I was like, I've got this great artist. I know he's an animator. Maybe there's something that we can do with these pictures to, like, bring them to life. So I, like, did a little storyboard, and then I had a lot of help, a lot of support from friends. Like, my friend, she's a voiceover artist, did the voiceover. My friend did the sound design. We had a composer do original music. So it was really, wow. I'm so blessed and grateful to have such a great support system because everyone really has like come through above and beyond to help bring all of this to the world.
I mean, that really, like, when you know, people think, you know, you're writing a book and you're bringing your story to life in this book, but I mean, the way you're describing that, that's really, I mean, you took it to a whole new level.
Thank you. I just, I don't know. You got to do it all or, like, don't. I mean, you know, you have to be, like, really disciplined, totally driven, to, like, make all that stuff happen. So,
absolutely.
I think people felt the passion, and they were like, I can do something. I don't know how much it will help, but, like, I'm willing to do something to help, you know, help Jason.
Right. Now, what was that like for you, though, watching that trailer for the first time when it was completed, seeing your characters?
I think I screamed or something or freaked out. I was just like, oh, my God, this is crazy. I'm actually pretty into fashion. I used to work in fashion, and so I buy clothes, I buy shoes and everything. And I remember when I started shifting my spend over to getting these images done, and same way kind of with the trailer, but I got so excited every time I would get a new sketch, and I got to pick the poses, and they sent me the renders without color, and they sent me the color. I'm like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, this is real. So, like, all of these milestones, it was crazy. So I'm, like, getting a picture kind of one every other week or something. I'm sure it's an addiction by now. And then seeing the trailer, I was like, wow, this is crazy.
That's so awesome.
And I'm still kind
so
of
awesome.
In shock. Like, I don't believe it all is happening and it's real. But it's real.
That's so awesome. I'm so excited for you. Now, the one thing I was thinking, because I'm actually kind of big into the world of, like, comic books and stuff like that, and the whole scene of Comic-Cons. Did you ever think of going that route with your book, you know, for promotions? Or?
Yeah, so honestly, experience is everything. I think in general we're learning that we have to create a physical, real-world touch point for any product or brand or story. You see Netflix and stuff, they do, like, you know, whole build-outs of, like, the extended world of, like, Stranger Things and stuff like that. So the thing for me is that I can't do anything regular. So I'll kind of troll Comic-Con and, like, go around and see what everyone's doing. And then I want
right.
to come out with, like, something interactive, you know, maybe some, like, virtual reality or something like that, or augmented reality, where it's something people will talk about, you know, because, yeah, that's just kind of like how my mind works. I'm like, okay, we can do this, or we can do this and really make a scene or make a splash, start a conversation. So I plan to do it. It's going to take some time.
Yeah. I mean, instead of just being, you know, somebody, you see some of these people there and they're just sitting behind their table and they got a stack of books there and they have, a banner. I mean, kind of like you did with your trailer for the book. I mean, the way you're talking is, again, taking it to a whole different level.
It'd be cool to have people dressed up. I've been kind of like grooming my friends. I'm like, so I'm going to make costumes, and then I'm going to need you to wear them and walk around the show for me. So, yeah, I want it to be immersive.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Because I've done both my daughters are both artists, so we've done like comic book shows around here in the Philadelphia area, and we met like a lot of independent, you know, comic book people in the area who do their own comics and all, and a few of them they do that where they have, you know, they brought their characters to life where they have people dressed up as the characters walking around to try to get attention for their books and all. So yeah, I mean that's definitely
that's
a great
awesome.
Idea.
Do your daughters draw their own artwork, or do they do commission work?
They do both. Actually, my older daughter, who is absolutely amazing, and she had gotten a bunch of offers from to do some comic book artwork, to do children's books and stuff like that, and she doesn't like doing it for money. She like stopped drawing on. She stopped drawing for a year and a half altogether. She just got really freaked
Wow.
out by people wanting to pay her to do her artwork. She's like, yeah, I don't like that. It took all the fun out of it for me, and she's like, I don't want to do it. She stopped drawing for a year and a half, and now she just started drawing again. Like she'll do her own drawings in hiding, and then say, oh, look what I did, But she wants nothing to do with the other, which it drives me insane, and I don't understand it. But I gotta, whatever's gonna make her happy, I got to go with. But my younger daughter, who she's up and coming, she was like, so wait a minute, like I can do this, and people will pay me to draw. Sign me up, I'll do it. She's the
I
exact
love
opposite
it.
of, yeah, she's the exact opposite of my older daughter. So we've done some with her too, but she's just 14 now, but she's done some,
Okay.
yeah.
I think it can be, as a creative, it can be daunting. Like, I find that when I have to think to business, it can be a blocker for my ability to like create more. So like right now I'm working
Sure.
on the second book, but I'm trying to launch, so I'm not able to really like disconnect and
Focus.
get in my zone to where I can keep going with the story. So it's just a balance, but I understand that when you get the pressure of creating and there's deadlines and people are kind of like after you, it can be weird because I think like drawing, writing is kind of a solitary exercise. So you really need to be able
Yeah.
to disconnect and do it. And if you don't feel free, I think that's one of the things I always struggle with is like not feeling free enough to do what I need to do, and it's my own head, but I think that having people involved can definitely stranger than it needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's totally what happened. Like once people started like, here's this and can you have this done at this point, and this storyboard then, and these sketches then, it was like she got very overwhelmed, and then she she felt like is this going to be good enough for these people, is this what they really want, and it was just too much pressure coming from all directions, and she was just like, nah, she's like, I want no parts of it. She works at the local library. She's like, I'm happy just working at the library. Like I don't need to do that. I'm like, okay, whatever works for you.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah. So, I'm seeing too in the bio, like, where you're taking like your influence of, eventually writing this series. You kind of did that, and like you said, with you worked in the fashion, and also so you did like tech work and work in entertainment. Like you did the same type of thing to get your point across in those different mediums by telling stories.
Yeah, it's I always thought of it as a detour, but I realized it was like an accelerated learning experience because so working in fashion, I'm still very I love clothes and style, so my characters are very I try to make them stylish. I worked for an artificial intelligence company doing marketing, so I had to understand like how the mechanics of what we were building worked. So that was really interesting to learn about the direction of technology, and how it could or should help humanity, or how we further integrate it into our lives, some of it probably without our knowledge. But and then yeah, entertainment was just looking at how people created content and how they distributed content, how they partnered with different celebrities or personalities to amplify that, and then the experience
Right.
part of it. So it was a kind of over the last 9 or 10 years, just hopping industries, learning about how each one operated within the culture sphere. And then, so when I started to develop this, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to I kind of have to use those elements. So I was like, oh, I didn't write for so long, and I wasted so much time, but I guess I didn't because I learned a lot along the way. Learned a lot.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So what was
and all those people from my past job. Oh, sorry. I was gonna say all the people from my past job. You know, all of my old colleagues. They all supported me when I started putting this project out there.
That's awesome.
So it's awesome that they like, oh, this is what you really love. Okay.
So here's a question too. Like, you know, being affected, this story has kind of gone back to like you said, like when you were 10 years old. What has your family thought that now it's like, wow, like he took it from that all, you know, years ago to this reality of a book and a series now? So is your family like kind of taken off the path right now? Like, you know, really shocked too?
Yeah, I think, I don't know who's the most shocked. I think my mom is still very shocked. Because she believes in me, but she just didn't expect. I don't have a track record of following through on things. But yeah, because I shared these stories with my family when I was young. We have a very tight knit family. My aunts, my uncles, my cousins. So they all know. My dad and my sister and brothers. They all know that I've been writing this story since I was a kid. So they know about it. They've read versions of it, and to see it, you know, in their hands, like the hardcover. My dad called me and he was like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you, son. I can't believe this. So yeah, it's been really, really amazing. So much, yeah,
that is
a lot of love and support.
That's so awesome. Well, Jason, I want to congratulate you on this becoming a reality for you. I mean, it's very exciting. I'm excited for you. I really am.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now, the book is called Zosma?
Zosma, yep. It's called Zosma.
Zosma. And it's the first part of the series, and the series is called The Lost Children of Andromeda. And where should we send everybody for the information on where to get the book, the trailer?
You can find everything on www.lostchildrenofandromeda.com. We got the Instagram to follow. It's got the trailer on the homepage, a synopsis, and links to buy the book.
Awesome. Very good. Well, Jason, thanks for doing this, and congratulations again, and much success. And we'll have to have you come back on when part 2 is ready.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Welcome back. Tudgeon Radio. Bay Ragney here. And there he is, Jason Michael Primrose. He is the author again of Zosma. And you can go to lostchildrenofandromeda.com for more info about not only Jason, but the book, where to order. It's got all the links for social media, order links on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, et cetera, et cetera. So check him out. Make sure you follow him. Buy the book. Check it out. Read it. And get ready, because there's going to be more. That's just the first part of the series. And just like I just said, the first part, that's just the first part of our show. Now on to the second part of our show. Our second author, his name is Bryce Bentley Tales, and he recently released a book. It's called The Werewolf on Lower Few Lane. And Bryce is a LGBT young adult author, and he tackles all different issues in this book, especially about coming out for young adults. And not only for young adults, but in case you are a werewolf as well. He tackles those issues and more, and we talk about all that, and we talk about his love of Scooby-Doo, the inspiration of Scooby-Doo for this book and others, and it's a good conversation. So let's get into it. Here he is, Bryce Bentley Tales. Hello, Bryce.
Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Saturday.
Saturday it is, right? Yes.
Yes. So, you know, it's funny, as I was going through and reading bio and info about the book and all, I instantly started thinking to myself, like, as I read, like, it's about old school monsters, haunted houses, and a band of friends, I thought to myself right away, Scooby-Doo. And then I saw that it kind of sounds like you were influenced by Scooby-Doo.
Right, exactly, yeah. That's funny. Well, I'm glad you see Scooby-Doo, because that's one of my early time favorites.
Yeah. How could you not like Scooby-Doo, right?
Right. Agreed.
So it sounds kind of like you kind of did take, like, you know, take Scooby-Doo out of the equation, but that kind of world, like with the haunted houses and the old school monsters and stuff like that, and you kind of like crossed it with like a modern day feel, it kind of sounds like.
I did, yeah. I put it's definitely a modern day feel, and it involves another world as well. So the kids end up going through a portal into another world, so they end up in a completely different kind of world that's different from modern day world, so it includes that as well. So it kind of takes a little bit of a spin off there.
Nice. Now, the story, it's called The Werewolf on the, is it Lower Few Lane?
Yes, Lower Few Lane. And there's when you read the story, there's a reason why there's that kind of weird street name. It kind of plays into the story as well. So, yes.
Okay. So it kind of sounds like, I mean, there's like a couple of stories going on here, but where it's kind of like you got two different coming outs going on, where you have the coming out as the werewolf and the coming out as being gay. And it was like, I mean, do you think it's like such a big, you know what I mean? Like, that's the big part of this story here, is the coming out part.
Yeah, so I was trying to, the way I was writing it, so this is meant, technically it's meant for middle grade readers, but the publisher I use, they don't have like a middle grade readership, I guess, category, so they put it as young adult. But it's really for younger adult. So I was kind of writing a story that would, you know, have a little bit of a coming out, but it's not like a elaborate or a complex coming out, but a coming out that would be a lot different than coming out gay, where the coming out gay is really not kind of seen as a big deal. It's like, oh, you're gay. Okay, well, that's great. But let's talk more about this other thing that you just came out about, and that was being a werewolf. So I kind of play a little bit with that, and that, I think that part, writing that part was fun.
Do you think which character had the harder time coming out? Is the one that came out as the werewolf, or coming out as being gay?
I think coming out the werewolf was coming out. That would be the hard. That was the hard part. I mean, how do you kind of tell people that?
it kind of sounds too like you know, going this route with the young adults. Kind of like you're trying to get the message across too, that it's okay, like, to be gay at a young age, to be able to come out and to be more accepting of yourself and for other people to accept you.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I think where the modern day, I think writing is going, as far as when talking about any kind of LGBT characters, is kind of blending in the gayness, or the if you're having a transgender character, transgender, whatever it might be. But that's just part of the story, and maybe that plays a little bit into the plot, but that's not the main plot. The plot is, you know, whatever the story is about in this case. It's about the kids trying to find Dylan's aunt, who's a prisoner in this another world, and the gay character part is more of a, it's just there, and just being more aware of it and making... So I write for a wide, I'm meaning to write for a wide readership. So I'm just trying to expose, you know, people to having to read about a character that is gay, and
right,
yeah,
nice. Now, how about do you consider this more of a, you know, a horror story book, you know what I mean, or more of a, or where you're kind of getting the message of all that across as well?
I would say it would be, I classify it as horror. I would definitely say it was kind of the horror slash dark fantasy, and then the multicultural piece of being this, of the LGBT part being there as well. So the intent was really kind of focusing on the haunted house, and then the main character Colton has a crush on the American exchange student Dylan, and just kind of playing with that relationship a little bit. But really the piece is about the haunted house and Dylan's aunt going missing, and they're trying to find her and rescue her from the warlock in this other world.
Now, you know, I was going through your website as well, and I was checking out your blogs and stuff like that. And you wrote one a couple of weeks ago, before the release of the book, and I thought it was kind of interesting because, you know, the story is about this werewolf, and you wrote a blog about, you know, how can you write a werewolf story and make it original? I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, I mean, the world of werewolves and vampires and all that's been done, especially so much over the years. You know, how can you make an original? And I thought that was really cool that you, you know, you touched on that.
Yeah, I think, and it goes back to just, I think a lot of times the werewolf stories I've always seen is where, you know, you find the character, the main character gets bit by this creature, and then you are kind of watching him transform, and he's figuring out why is he transforming and all that. And so I've kind of seen that played in different variations over different movies and whatnot. And I was thinking, you know, what it'd be very interesting to kind of say, well, the person already knows where we're with, and they're kind of they know this happens. How does that affect their relationships with other people around them, and how does that affect them disclosing that to certain people because they have this secret about themselves, and how do they discuss that with other people that they're close to, and how do they go about that? How do they feel about that? And I think that all comes because I'm a psychologist, so I'm really always into the mind and how does the mind work and whatnot.
Now, the whole point of the werewolf, was a werewolf something that you always wanted to write about? Did you think like, you know, like I mentioned too, like vampires, did you contemplate like a vampire character at all at any point, or a werewolf, or was always the werewolf, or?
I think I've always been interested in, I've always loved werewolf, vampires, any kind of things that have built any kind of monsters, really, when I was a kid. I would be sitting, you know, when we go in elementary school, we'd go check out our books, and, you know, other people would be checking out these books about whatever it might be, about Greece, or it'd be about, you know, the prince and finding the princess, whatever. But I always wanted to find the monster books, and I was trying to find that kind of stuff. So there was that aspect. And also, I had just written I write adult fiction as well, and I had written a horror story that was called Werewolf Castle, under my pen name of B. Bentley Summers. And so I had written about that, and after I had written that, I was just wanting to write something that would be for real young kids that they could read and would be kind of a fun story.
Nice.
As well.
And you started writing back in 2011, but it seemed like you didn't start with books initially. I guess maybe like short stories or something, or?
Let's see, in 2011, I was writing, I've been writing basically a nonfiction piece. It's called Queer Sense. It's just basically a new, I would just call it like a new sexual gender identity kind of model. Really looking at how we form attitudes through our culture, looking at role models and how we connect to those role models and how we use language. And so that's basically what I started writing in 2011, and I was kind of focusing on that, and then I kind of spun off of that and wrote some fiction, and then those stories, maybe I guess were short stories, 40,000 words, and I self-published those. And then at some point I started getting books that I got accepted to traditional publishers.
Oh, nice. Nice. Wow. So now how about, I saw you also have a few more books in the works as well. It sounds like
yes.
you're constantly constantly with books in the works over here.
I do, yes. My main impediment, of course, is just finding the resources that just I want to just to get them distributed and get them exposure. The next three books, the one I'm really focusing on getting out is Queer Sense, because that's like an 8-year project and I've invested a lot in getting it done. And so I'm looking at ways of, it's all done. I'm just looking at ways of how I can best get it distributed and get it out there. So that's number one. The other two are, one's an adult sci-fi thriller. It's completed. Just needs a little bit of a finesse from an editor. It's about a elite a soldier in America. He's a Muslim American, and his parents are taken into a Muslim camp, and at the same time he gets this ability to bend people's perceptions, and he has to use this ability to find some terrorists, and he's kind of been made out to be this really bad person. So the government wants him, and everybody wants to kill him, but he's trying to beat time while he tries to save the world and save his family. And the other book is a young adult book that will be a series and basically takes place in the year 3000, and a boy in the year 2200 kind of goes into the future and finds that the world has really changed. It's ruled no longer is it ruled by humans, it's ruled by these kind of robo-humans that are half humans and half people, and humans are now feral individuals. So he kind of finds himself in that world, and he ends up kind of coming under this other person named Kylik, who's a robo-human, and they kind of fall in love and whatnot. And we go off from there.
Cool. Very cool. Busy. busy. Now, something too, like I noticed, in the press release that you was sent over to me too, like the artwork, and I thought to myself, did you ever think maybe graphic novels as well?
Oh, I would love to do that. Yeah, that would be, and that was actually what I've been wanting to do. That would be my ideal thing to do, because when I was a young kid, I didn't do drawings, but I have it's very much easier for me to see things visually than to see it written. And so I'm a very visual seer. So I was always drawing, and I was always really good at drawing. But somehow I ended up going into the writing world instead. But it's much easier for me to see things visually, and I can usually give an artist, like, I want you to do this and this, and I can, it's much easier for me to see things in that light. And so I would love to do a graphic book.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool, especially with these young adult books. I think that would really be a great way to go as well with some of these stories.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. That's what I always gravitated to when I was young and a kid. I was like the comic books and the graphic artist books. I still buy them now and again when I see them. I bought one that was called 300, the one about the Greek soldiers, and then The Gunslinger by Stephen King. They put those in graphic.
Okay.
But I've been kind of just collecting those because I just think those are real neat.
Nice.
So I still buy them.
Yeah, they seem to be the hot thing now, the graphic novels. People are sucking them up.
Yeah, I know, right? They do.
Cool. Well, Bryce, where should we send everybody to get the new book and the upcoming books, and you actually have some other ones out there as well. So where can we send everybody to get all your work?
The best place to send folks right now would be my young adult website, because that should take you right directly to my publisher site, which you can buy the stuff there. I'm not sure if it's put on Amazon yet, but www.BryceBentleyTales.com, and Tales is T-A-L-E-S. And Bryce Bentley is how it sounds, B-R-Y-C-E, and then Bentley like the car, and Tales.
Nice. Well, Bryce, thanks for doing this. Congratulations on the book. It is out now. It was officially released the other day on October 29th, and everybody needs to look for it. It's called Werewolf on Lower Few Lane.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, welcome back to the radio. Bay Ragney here. There he is, Bryce Bentley Tales. And actually, you can go right to his website, BryceBentleyTales.com, and you can get the order links for his book, The Werewolf on Lower Few Lane, or you can get his social media links. And again, buy the book, read the book, share the book, share the word of the book. It's got a great message. And both of these authors, up-and-coming authors, and they need your support to get the word out there about these amazing books, the talent, and, you know, the works of both of these authors. So do it. BryceBentleyTales.com and ChildrenOfAndromeda.com. Go to them both. And while you're at it, look us up all over the world of social media, too, Total Driven Entertainment, Total Driven Radio, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And or just look for me, Bay Ragney. Like us, love us, follow us. Check us out. We're all over the world of the interwebs. Just use Google for all of us. There you go. All right, thanks again for tuning in for this special edition on Totally Driven Tuesday. We will be back live Thursday night, myself, Nick Wilkinson, and so far our guest is the lead singer of the band Dead Girls Academy, Mike Orlando. So tune in Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, stay driven, everybody. See ya.